You're listening to the LA Football Podcast.
Hey, what's going on, Los Angeles? What's up, UCLA Bruins fans? This is the LA Football Show, UCLA edition of the show. Thank you all for tuning in, making us a part of your day. I'm Ryan Dyer, your co-host, joined as always by the Madman, UCLA alum, Jamal Madney. What's up, brother? How we doing?
Doing well, Ryan. Excited to, this is going to be a fun episode here, you know, in terms of the game that we got created here. Always fun to be chatting all things UCLA football with you and, you know, excited to get into it.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's spring ball's done. There has been a few recruiting news, some big news for the Bruins, which is great. I know our guy Will Deckers talked about that on the Bruin Bible, and we'll probably talk more about that next week. See if any more come through the pipeline. I know they got a nice Bosco running back visiting this weekend. So, you know, there's some good stuff happening with Chip Kelly and the recruiting trail for these Bruins. But today we're going to have a little fun. And I want to give credit. There was a post going around. I mean, this happens all the time, so it's nothing new. But All Day LA Sports tweeted out, you know, you have $25 to put together the all UCLA football team with a, you know, list of players worth a monetary value ranging from $5 to $1. We'll post the graphic up on our page if you're on our website, or we'll have it up on social as well, so you can take a look at it. But we're going to go ahead and build this team. Why not? It's the offseason. Have some fun with it and see what teams we came up with for $25. Would be interesting if that was a salary cap. But it is for this instance. So real quickly, though, got to pay the bills. Show is always brought to you by our friends at BetOnline. Head to betonline.ag today. Use our promo code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV. Gets you a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Free money to play with. Tell them the guys at the LA Football Network sent you. Once again, that's betonline.ag. Promo code BELIEVE. All right, Jamal. So this is more challenging than I thought. I can actually pull it up here on the screen so people watching can see, but I'm wondering if I should read or if that would be counterproductive, all of these.
Why don't we show it up there and say, hey, here's the board. Here's what we got to deal with.
Yeah. So let me pull that. Okay. So here is, at All Day LA Sports, shout out to you. Here is what we're working with here. You know, we got, again, $25. You look at, you know, one quarterback, one running back, one receiver, one tight end, one offensive lineman, one defensive lineman, one linebacker, one DB, and one head coach. So 9 total positions to fill out your $25 roster. So, Jamal, let you start. Quarterback. Who were you taking at the QB position?
So, Ryan, for me, this whole approach here was, it's all about value, right? It's output, you know, and outcomes relative to the amount of, you know, dollars that you have to spend. And so for me, you know, when I look at this roster sort of holistically, I'm saying, you know, who are truly the $5 guys? Who are the guys where at $5, you know, I'm getting significantly more value than I would at $2 or $3. And so for me, that really was only maybe one position, and I won't give that away, but where I saw a tremendous difference. And so I sort of worked myself backwards from kind of that position to then build out this team. So having said that, for me at quarterback, I went with Rosen at $2. I mean, you know, Rosen was the most talented quarterback that UCLA ever had. And so when I look at, you know, pocket quarterback, you know, Drew Olsen was a pocket quarterback. Rosen was, McNown was. McNown is the most decorated quarterback in UCLA history. And he's the greatest because of the 20 game win streak and all the records and just everything he was able to do over 4 years. But when you look at arm and when you just look at natural ability, to me, Rosen was far superior to DTR and was far superior to Hundley. And so for me, at $2, Josh Rosen was a steal.
Yeah, you know, it's great points. And the value point makes a ton of sense. I was probably blinded by the output and production. And this was the one position I spent higher. You know, I all these quarterbacks I think you can win with and do good things with. But when I just look at over the course of the career, you know, who truly symbolize, you know, greatness at the QB position. You know, you could definitely make the argument DTR, what he did in his 5 years, specifically the last year. But, you know, you look at those first three seasons, it was pretty tough sledding to get to where he got to. You look at Josh Rosen, some amazing moments, and everything you said is absolutely true. One of the top recruits, one of the best arm talents, one of the best just pure passers UCLA have seen. But it was a very up and down career, and you can blame a lot of factors on that. Brett Hundley, that one was a tough one for me because he obviously had a lot of great, great stuff and there was a lot of good players around him. But you just look at, you know, 20 game win streak, you know, the passing leader, essentially. So I had to splurge here and I went Cade McNown, probably nice. Just because I was blinded by the output, blinded by the numbers, blinded by the hierarchy of where he ranks as UCLA quarterback. So I went McNown here.
Love it. Love it. I mean, you can't, you know, sort of argue with it, Ryan. I think, and McNown is, you know, actually a friend of the family. I mean, I love Cade McNown, you know.
Yeah.
You can see him going golfing at the Bel Air Country Club here from time to time. I mean, he's an amazing guy. Love him to death. You know, so for me, it was just kind of more of a value play and kind of similar to DTR. And I think people forget this because the junior and senior year was just so great. I mean, when you talk about Cotton Bowl victory, the Rose Bowl appearance. I mean, Cade McNown was the reason I fell in love with UCLA football. He was a lefty. I was a lefty. And I went out in the front yard and wanted to be Cade McNown growing up. So McNown, you know, holds so much sentimental value to me. But, you know, having said all of that, you know, his freshman and sophomore years were a little bit rough. And you know, he had to sort of grow into it. So when I took all of that into consideration, I went Rosen.
Yeah, makes sense. So, all right. So $5 for me, $2 for you. Running back. This one, for me, it wasn't hard, but where'd you go here?
Ryan, I stayed in the $2 zone here. I mean, you know, for me at Charbonnet at $2 was almost a no-brainer. I think that there is an argument to be made that Charbonnet is the greatest physical specimen to ever play running back at UCLA. And when you look at Charbonnet versus Deshaun Foster versus Jonathan Franklin, you know, very similar backs in that regard. I think Charbonnet has more power than all of those guys. They had more sort of productivity and longevity because they were there longer. But in terms of, again, we had talked about similar things about usage rate and whatnot. But on a per play basis, Charbonnet is just, you know, beats those guys even in terms of productivity. The one conversation there was, you know, Maurice Jones-Drew's speed versus Zach Charbonnet's power. And the way I sort of thought of it was Charbonnet has obviously not the speed of Maurice Jones-Drew, but he's got that burst as well. And Maurice Jones-Drew has, you know, power, not quite the power of Charbonnet, but underrated power. So they were very comparable. But then it kind of came back to me in terms of value. And Maurice Jones-Drew at $5 versus Zach Charbonnet at $2 to me was kind of a no-brainer there.
Yeah, I didn't even think about this one. This one was very easy for me. If the quarterbacks, I saw enough of a drop-off from McNown down the list, so I had to spend that. The running backs, I could argue that there either is no drop-off or there was even better production at the cheaper level. So mine was Zach Charbonnet as well for $2. And maybe that's some recency bias, but I don't think so. I mean, all these backs were great. Even Paul Perkins at $1 had a really good UCLA career. But Zach Charbonnet is just one of the most exciting backs I've seen in a Bruins uniform. And that's no disrespect to Foster, Franklin, Jones-Drew, who all had phenomenal careers and were so exciting to watch. Charbonnet was just a guy that anytime the ball was in his hands, like it was magic was going to happen potentially. And he could break one. And, you know, there was, you could obviously, you know, factor in the scheme there with Chip Kelly, the great offensive line play. But I think Charbonnet still made it all tick, made it all go and kind of put UCLA greatness at running back back in the fold. They saw some very good production from Joshua Kelly, from Demetric Felton, but there wasn't the dominance that there was with Zach Charbonnet there. So, they were all good. But for, the value, $2, you couldn't go wrong with Charbonnet, no doubt.
No, for sure, Ryan. And then I think, you know, from a tight end perspective, for me, you know, I promise this is going to be the last time I'm on this roll, but I had to stay in the $2 club here. I mean, with Dulcich. And again, when you sort of break down Duarte versus Dulcich versus Foria versus Wilson, I mean, they're just so comparable there. They're very similar there. And to me, Dulcich actually poses more versatility than all of those guys. And it was more of a usage rate situation with Dulcich over the years, as you and I have talked about, as Will Decker has talked about. And so to me, Dulcich at $2 was really staggering. Then it became kind of a conversation of Mercedes Lewis at $5 versus Dulcich at $2. And again, I just didn't see Mercedes Lewis. Dulcich does everything Mercedes Lewis did, and Mercedes Lewis was more sort of a product of longevity. Again, and sort of accumulated stats. But in terms of ceiling, I felt like Dulcich was very comparable with Mercedes Lewis, and in some cases, maybe even greater. Mercedes Lewis had a couple of things that he did very well in terms of just getting his break off the line and creating separation. But at $5 versus two, I thought Dulcich at two was a steal.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I had Craig Dulcich originally. Dolly, we obviously love Dolly. Yeah, I think we only saw a fraction of the talent while he was there. Just the usage rate, not use as much, kind of waiting for DTR to really come into his own as a quarterback. And so we didn't truly see, I think, how good he could be. And so I think out of just pure talent, he would be one of the best on this list, period. And for $2, what a value. I ended up having to go down to Thomas Duarte just to save money elsewhere, because I originally had Dulcich, and then I had to cut back a few dollars to make my ending picks. Which I don't think is a huge drop off. I think all these tight ends is just great value. So I think for a dollar for Duarte, I'm definitely not upset about, you know, just such a big body at tight end, what he was able to do over his career. So yeah, no disrespect to Duarte, but I went with him morally just because I needed to save some money elsewhere.
No, it makes sense, Ryan. And then, you know, there's no wrong answer there. And then I think when, you know, you think about receiver, to me, it was a combination of who's a guy that can be a speedster, but also a guy that can be a possession guy. And so for me, this was a little bit surprising where, you know, Lasley was a guy who, you know, obviously sort of a gadget guy, not necessarily a huge speedster, not a huge possession guy, a little bit of both. Phillips, our guy, we love him so much, but kind of more of a pure possession guy. And then I was sort of looking at Freddie Mitchell. Freddie Mitchell was, you know, a true kind of deep threat, kind of long ball guy, but, you know, maybe not quite as clean as a possession receiver in terms of footwork and in terms of just mechanics. So for me, it came down to Danny Farmer and Craig Bragg. And when I thought of Danny Farmer, obviously in the McNown days, McNown would sort of roll to the left, go deep to Danny Farmer. Danny Farmer was a championship volleyball player, so he had tremendous athleticism in terms of being able to go up and catch the ball and go deep with it. But to me, probably the most underrated receiver in UCLA football history was Craig Bragg. Still the only receiver to have back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons mm-hmm. as a UCLA Bruin. And at a time in 2002 and 2003 where UCLA was below average at quarterback. So to me, his ability to be a deep guy as well as a possession guy and to be able to put up that productivity with a quarterback, you know, room that was below average for UCLA history standards and for the Pac-10 at that time, their standards, when I thought of putting Craig Bragg with the arm of Josh Rosen, I thought that was just too delicious a combination to pass up. So I went with Craig Bragg.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. A great pick there. And I think, yeah, having him with Rosen is a good reason for that compliment there. And to, you know, I guess spend up a little bit, you know, $3, a good value there. So I went, you know, I went kind of the same process you did. I ended up just because of spending big elsewhere, which you'll see here in a minute, I had to kind of go cheaper here. And so I went Kyle Phillips, and I don't want to try to have recency bias. I know, you know, throughout this list, you'll see some recent players or whatnot, but you know, I think Phillips brings you versatility. He's not the speed guy, as you mentioned, but he gives you return ability. You know, was kick and punt returner for UCLA, had that great punt return for a touchdown. Was it against Cal or Colorado in one of the final games of the year that season?
So Colorado, obviously yep.
Had some shiftiness and was able to have kind of a elusive speed that maybe he doesn't get credit for, a true possession guy. When you look at kind of, I did the same thing. When you look at Cade McNown and his prowess as a quarterback, having a just reliable receiver like Kyle Phillips, I think would do wonders. So love Kyle Phillips, you know, had a fairly long career with UCLA, you know, 4 seasons with them and, you know, was kind of in that 4 seasons, was waiting for his quarterback to kind of come into his own. When he finally did his last year, put up his best numbers, you know, with almost 800 yards and 10 touchdowns, I believe. So, you know, a little cheaper, but I think you can't go wrong with a guy like Kyle Phillips, who we both, you know, love.
You can never go wrong with Kyle Phillips. The answer to the question is always Kyle Phillips whenever you need it. And so Ryan, yes. Completely agree there. You know, Ryan, in terms of O-line, I mean, I love this game and I love, you know, the board here, but this was the one omission to me on the offensive line where there was a great player that was missing. And frankly, it should have been a $5 player at this, and that was Jonathan Ogden. I mean, yeah, Jonathan Ogden is, you know, the greatest offensive lineman in the history of UCLA football. And the fact that he's not on this list was puzzling. That was the one sort of miss on this board. So having said that, now if Ogden was on this board, it would have changed my calculus altogether in terms of roster construction here. But with the names on the board, to me, Antonio Mafi at $1 was the steal. I mean, this is a guy that obviously a multi-year starter at UCLA. He's going to be a 10-year starter for the Patriots, in my opinion. A pro guy can do a little bit of everything. And when you look at him at $1 compared to everybody else on this board, you know, at money higher, to me, value pick here, Mafi just blew it away in terms of this curve. And, you know, you can get a 10-year NFL vet for a dollar. Sign me up.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I totally agree on the Ogden. I was shocked. I was like, okay, this doesn't make any sense. But I don't know if, and this is no disrespect to Colton Miller, but I don't know if this money valuation was based on draft stock, Colton Miller being a first round pick.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. I went Antonio Mafi as well for a buck. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, this is tremendous value. His versatility, what he's done, just the bruiser, like the power he exhibits at the offensive line, the guard position. And I agree. I think he'll be a decade plus starter for the Patriots in that system. So yeah, for a buck, I originally had Scott Quessenberry. I love Scott, his versatility as well, being able to play center and guard. But I ended up going with Mafi. Just, I think it was better value saving that dollar, and you get, if the same, maybe even better, you could argue a different way in terms of production and talent. So yeah, Mafi makes the most sense. So repeat your offense before we jump to defense real quick.
So Ryan, I got Josh Rosen, Zach Charbonnet, Craig Bragg, Greg Dulcich, Antonio Mafi.
Perfect. And I got Cade McNown, Zach Charbonnet, Thomas Duarte, Kyle Phillips, and Antonio Mafi. So let us know whose offense is better. We'll have a poll up on the website. Ryan's or Jamal's? Let us know. All right, sir, on to defense.
So, Ryan, defense is where I felt the top-end talent, there was significant difference. And this, so I was saving my money for the defense because that's where the difference between $4 and $5 players and $1 and $2 players was significant. Yep. And so to me, defensive line, this was my $5 guy. You know, Anthony Barr, to me, significantly greater than anyone else on this list. Obviously, the pass rushing prowess, his ability to rush the quarterback, but just the versatility. You could kind of essentially put Anthony Barr anywhere on that front seven, and he's going to make a huge impact. He's obviously had a decorated NFL career. And also, Bruin fans will sort of reminisce in this. He's the one who knocked out Matt Barkley in the 2012 game that ultimately ended the USC streak of 12 out of 13 wins and really shifted the tide to three straight Bruin victories as well. So for me, Anthony Barr, far and away the best player on this list, and even value at $5 was far and away the greatest.
Yeah, this one was painful for me because I wanted Barr so badly. But in order to do so, I probably would have had to change my quarterback, and I just felt strongly about taking McNown. And so I unfortunately wasn't able to take Barr. I agree with everything you said. Probably should have, looking back. But I went Kenny Clark. I thought Kenny Clark at least does provide a still great presence on the defensive line there. Not that his pro career matters, but is having a very solid pro career. And so, you know, for $4, able to save a dollar there, which I didn't really have a choice. I kind of had to, it hurt me, but I agree with you on terms of the defense. Like, these were the two positions I definitely spent up on. And Kenny Clark, a drop off from Barr, but still much better than the remaining three there. So some definite talent equity there, at least in terms of these two guys. So I went with Kenny Clark.
Love that. Love that, Ryan. And then, you know, kind of thinking about it from a linebacker perspective, again, I saw really tremendous value in that upper echelon. And to me, Miles Jack at $4 was the player. And when you think about who Miles Jack was at UCLA, arguably the most versatile player in UCLA history. I mean, he was kind of UCLA's Dion in a sense. When you look at where he was, the linebacker, you know, he was a run stuffer. He had beeline speed in terms of closing speed on tight ends, on receivers, on running backs. And then we lined him up, you know, as an H-back. And, you know, he was in goal line situations. Can you imagine that sort of short yardage package with Miles Jack and Zach Charbonnet? I mean, you know, good luck to anyone you know, trying to stop UCLA on 3 yards or less and on any down of the field. So for me, the versatility was just through the roof, and combining Anthony Barr with Miles Jack was just too delicious. So I went with Miles Jack, linebacker, at $4.
Love that. Yeah. I originally was debating between Jack and Kenny Young. Obviously a drop off there. But Jack was so fun to watch throughout his career and some of the goal line, you know, rushes that he did. Ultimately, though, I decided to splurge and go Eric Kendricks, and just being the voice, the leader of the defense, you know, his final season, Jamal, I know you know this, but 149 tackles, 11 and a half sacks or 11 and a half tackles for loss, 4 sacks from the linebacker position. Just the sideline speed, the coverage ability, the smarts, the quickness, all that you can say. And so it was basically a decision. Do I go Barr and then go Jack or Young, or do I go Kendricks and then go Clark or Davis? And I ultimately decided to go Kendrick with a little drop off on the D line. I don't think you go wrong either way, but yeah, I love
it. Can't go wrong either way, Ryan. That's sort of the perfect thinking there. You know, you're either going to go $5 at D line and then $4 at linebacker or vice versa. But, you know, this is to me on this board really where the significant gap existed between the $4 and $5 players and lower. In terms of DB, Ryan, I think we sort of went back to a situation that we had on offense where I think there was value all across the board. And for me, the greatest player, you know, the greatest defensive back for my money and in terms of just my perception of UCLA football, regardless of dollar amount, was Ricky Manning Jr. And so Ricky Manning Jr. at $3 to me was sort of a no-brainer. I think he was the best pure cover corner that UCLA ever had. And then when you add that element of being able to kick, you know, being able to be kind of the special teamer and be the punt returner, be the kickoff specialist, and then also sort of line him up at wide receiver that UCLA did from time to time, and having him with Craig Bragg, I thought that entire combination there was just too great to pass up. And I actually would have had Ricky Manning, truthfully, as the $5 defensive back. So to be able to get him at $3 was another steal.
Yeah, it's great. I agree. It was kind of a closer than the last two positions in terms of what value you could get. And I originally really wanted Altron Werner. You know, great career, obviously. He went to my roommate at Long Beach State. They went to the same high school, Mayfair High School in Lakewood. So there's some familiarity there. Ultimately couldn't afford it. So I ended up going with Darnay Holmes, who I thought, you know, had a very solid career with the Bruins, you know, 8 interceptions over his entirety as a UCLA Bruin, and went through some tough changes with the program and was kind of a stalwart on that defensive back end. So, and is having a nice, you know, NFL career so far in terms of what he's been able to do in production and get himself on the field. So agree with you, Ricky Manning, I think was great. Love Altron Werner. Raheem Moore, obviously a phenomenal career with the Bruins, but came down to value for me, and I needed to spend less. And so Darnay Holmes was the pick.
No, love that one, Ryan. And, you know, everyone forgets Darnay Holmes was a 5-star recruit. And so very physical corner. You know, the only knock for me with Holmes was he got burnt a lot deep because he was just so aggressive. So it was sort of hit or miss with him in that regard. So there was a little bit of downside protection there that kind of came to mind. And then just like you, Ryan, it came down to Ricky Manning and ATV for me. And I still remember that pick six he had, you know, back in 07, you know, in the Rose Bowl against Cal, and just, you know, lit the Rose Bowl on fire there. For me, he was, you know, as the second greatest cover corner on this list in terms of UCLA history. So it was a close call there, Manning, but Werner ended up going with Manning though. And then finally, Ryan, I think for me, head coach, I think this was another no-brainer at $3 to go with Chip Kelly. I mean, when you talk about the visionary on offense, to be able to get it at $3. I think this was very interesting. Toledo obviously was $5 again because he was the quarterback. You know, he was the coach for McNown in the golden years of 97 and 98. But then outside of 97 and 98, Toledo didn't really have a lot of success. And to me, I think Jim Mora may be the most overrated coach in the history of UCLA football. I think his 3-year run from 2012 to 2014, obviously it was 29 victories in those 3 years. But they just couldn't quite get over the top and get into those Pac-12 title games and win the conference. And I think he was also a tremendous beneficiary of USC being on sanctions. And the moment SC sort of, you know, removed their sanction status, had full scholarships again, you saw the drop off right away with Jim Mora. So to me, you know, Chip Kelly is the best coach on this list. And again, in a similar situation, to get the best coach and to get it at $3. And I also love the idea of pairing a talent like Rosen with a mind like Chip Kelly. You know, if that were to happen, I just think that it would be dynamite.
Yeah. I'd be curious to see the relationship or the, if there'd be any clash with Kelly.
Oh yeah,
and Rosen.
I'm sure would, there would be a ton of clash, but I almost feel like, I think Rosen was very intelligent.
Yeah.
And I think that part of the challenge with Rosen was he became rebellious and defiant. I think when the coaches didn't sort of match that intelligence and didn't know how to discipline him. But I think with Chip, you know, the level of intelligence being so high, I think there would be sort of a respect factor there. And I'm kind of banking on Chip kind of honing Rosen the right way.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It would have been fascinating to see. So, well, I won't say exactly what you said, but I agree. To me, it was a no-brainer. Chip Kelly as well at $3. My, other than everything you said, my reasoning was, you know, it's, we already know the results of the other coaches. Like Bob Toledo obviously had a great run, but at $5, that was not worth the value. Jim Mora, we know the results. They were eh. Rick Neuheisel, we know the results. Not great. Carl Droe, we know the results. One big time victory, really. That was it. Chip Kelly, we don't know the full results yet. Like the ceiling is still very high. The potential is still high. Obviously, it started off very slow, but now we're kind of at this peak era of the Chip Kelly era going into year six with the new quarterback at the helm, with the recruiting coming in, with all the stuff he's done in the transfer portal, with how he's, you know, really embraced this integrity and building the program the right way. And so based on knowing what the outcome was of the other coaches and not knowing what the outcome of Chip Kelly, that alone was a no-brainer for me. And to get him at $3 made all the sense in the world.
For sure, Ryan. So just to recap here, I had on defense, Anthony Barr, Miles Jack, Ricky Manning Jr., and then my head coach was Chip.
Yep, and I had Kenny Clark, Eric Kendricks, Darnay Holmes, and Chip Kelly. So we only had two of the same, Charbonnet and Kelly. We're only two same there. But I think overall, did you use all $25 or were you under?
I did. I was exactly at $25.
Yeah, yep. Me too. I was at 29, and that's why I had to scale back a few because I was like, okay, I can't just, no offense, but I can't roll with Carl Durrell as my coach. Like, that's not going to happen. So I'm going to have to scale these players back and make sure I get a different coach in there. So, well, anyway, there you have it. UCLA Bruins fans, who had the better team? Whose team is going farther in the Pac-12 this season? If these are the guys and the coach you're trotting out there, let us know. You can hit us up on Twitter at LAFB Jams, at Ryan Dyer at LAFB, at LAFB Network. You can text us, text UCLA to the keyword or the number 31032. We'll also have a poll right below this show on the website where you can vote. So, Jamal, any final closing remarks?
No, Ryan. I mean, it's just such a fun game here. And I think it also kind of speaks to the parity in terms of UCLA football history, where, you know, so many of these positions, I mean, it was a fight between kind of $5 and $2 sometimes, or $4 and $1. And just speaks to sort of the consistency of talent that UCLA football has had over the years. So excited to hopefully see this year's version of the Bruins kind of crack into that a little bit. Maybe we'll see a J. Michael Sturdivant or a Kyle Ford or an Ethan Garbers or a Leatu Latu make it on this list moving forward. That would be really nice.
Hey, I mean, Leatu Latu is considered, as of today, like a top two edge rusher in this year's draft. So obviously there's a lot of hype around Latu, and deservedly so, with the great year he had, the rebound year he had, and hopefully he can keep it all together and put up another performance this year. So, well, Jamal, thank you as always. Fun as always. Bruins fans, thank you for tuning in. Everyone, enjoy the remainder of the week. Enjoy the weekend. Whenever you are listening to this, we'll be back next week for more Bruins talk. As always, for Jamal Madney, I'm Ryan Dyrud. Talk to you guys all soon.
You're listening to the LA Football Podcast.